Okay, so we'll try to continue a little bit from where we left off last time. We were talking about some of the differences, between a Seder on a regular weeknight and a Seder on Friday night. So we spent a lot of time last year talking about the differences of Erev Pesach in terms of the Korbanos, in terms of the Zmanim, etc., things of that nature. In terms of the Seder itself, there aren't that many differences. So we started off with one of the differences, that Kiddush at least has a dimension of the Araisa. The holiday is that it's a Kiddush on Shabbos, for sure the Raisa, Kiddush on Shabbos, maybe the Raisa, maybe Chapsin of Kamin in terms of size and Revia, size of Kiddush Cup. That was one possibility. Maybe one difference between Friday night Seder and a regular Seder. We move on to other things that take place during the Seder. We have to see, are there any real differences or not? So when it comes to Urchas, it's pretty much the same. You wash the Tosadayim same way. Okay. So Karpas, move to a Karpas. So the eating of the karpas isn't all that different, but the salt water may be a little bit different. So the question is, where does the salt water come from? Why are we having salt water in the first place? So the Mishnah tells us in the end of Maseches Pesachim that Halayla Zeh Madbilin Shtei Pa'amim, that on Seder night, so we dip twice. One of the two dips that we do, so one is the maror in the charoses, and the other is the karpas into the something. And the Gemara doesn't spell out what that dipping of the karpas is. So the Mechlek is to Risham, the different Hagam, what exactly you dip the karpas in? What are you dipping karpas all together? So Vishlama Mara, I understand why you're dipping, because the Gemara says that Mara was potentially dangerous if you don't dip it a little bit. But the bugs, whatever things are going to be dangerous potentially in the Mara. Not the Kashrus part. The Kashrus part is a different problem. Just a certain danger has to be solved by the dipping in the Chareis. So what possibly is the need for dipping the first time around? So the Gemara says that the first dipping, the whole eating of the karpas, is not really a din altogether. The eating of the karpas is going to allow us hekel tinaikis. It's in order to arouse the interest of the children, just to wake them up a little bit. You do something bizarre, you start dipping something at the beginning of the meal, so that's a little bit strange. So therefore the Chachamim instituted, it's not a formal mitzvah, but the Chachamim instituted this practice that the Seder to have karpas, to dip the karpas in something. Because the karpas is not a formal mitzvah, that's why we're not so concerned with eating a kezayis a karpas. Forget, many of the Rishonim have the tradition that you're supposed to eat less than a kezayis a karpas. The reason for eating less than a kezayis a karpas is because there's a question in the Rishonim about the bracha of maror. Before you eat maror, so the Gemara says you're making alachilis maror, and the implication, simple meaning of the Gemara is that you don't recite a bracha of bar pri hadama. Why is there no bar pri hadama before maror? So that Rishonim are not sure. Even though you washed, but it's what's called the Dovish Loba Machmas Asuta, those remember from Kates Mavarchan days. The Maror is not really an integral part of the meal, therefore it shouldn't have been covered by the Hamotzi of Matzah, so you really should have made a new bracha on the Maror. So the Rishonim are trying to scrounge it around, trying to figure out why is there no bracha on the Maror. So some Rishonim say, because it's Baal like an appetizer, so it's Baal Mitchil Sasuda, something that's coming, it just helps you get the digestive juices going. So if you have vegetables at the very beginning of the meal, like an appetizer, then you wouldn't recite a bracha. And other Rishonim say, no, that you really should have recited a bracha on Maror. The only reason why there's no bracha is because you had a bar pri adama from karpas that exempted the Maror. If that's the case, then you want to make sure not to make a bracha achrona after the karpas. Because if you're going to make a bar nefashas after the karpas, then you're not going to be able to, that bracha isn't going to be able to remain intact apart from the Maror. So therefore, the Hagos Maimon, he quotes the tradition from the Ashkenazi Rishonim that it's better not to have a kezayis for karpas. Because if you eat a kezayis for karpas, then you have to make a bar nefashas. If you make a bar nefashas, then the bracha disappears. Then you're going to be back into the problem of making a new bar pri adama on the morrow. So in order to suffice that view, that the karpas, the bar pri adama of karpas, is pattering the bar pri adama of morrow, therefore the minhag is in our communities, daf could eat less than a kezayis. The Rambam does it right away. The Rambam writes, you should daf eat more than a kezayis. The Rambam seems to learn that it's some kind of a mitzvah achila, mid rabbanon. You're supposed to, every time you have a achila, either the raisa or the rabbanon, you should try to have a kezayis. So we assume that it's not even a mitzvah achila mid rabbanon. It's mamsha nothing. It's because they lost us hekalatina. I guess the whole idea is just to make the heck of the alma, and therefore there's no need to have a kezayis, and therefore forget, it's probably better, it's preferable dafka not to have a kezayis. So it's the only thing to say, you have to make sure not to eat too much. Everything else can be as much as you want, but the karpas, I'm then against eat less. Some say that's for also. Some Rishonim say that because a matzah rom yechlul, since you have to do it, so it's considered to be like part of the matzah in the morning. Maybe. Different reasons that are given to Rishonim. But everybody agrees you're not supposed to make a bar pri adama. That's fair to the Gemara. You don't make a bar pri adama, we're just not sure exactly why. So I don't know if I told over the story last year, but last year at my Seder, the first time in 48 years last year, I made a mistake, and I made a bar pri adama before I ate the maror. I picked up, I got a little psyched up, you know, holding the piece of letters in my hands. And I said, I was about to say, Asher HaKidusha, Mitzvot V'Alachil Mar, and by mistake, I said, Baruch Atah Elohim, Bar Pri Adama. And I was sitting there and holding the Mar, and I said, what should I do now? So if I would have realized, Mamish, right away, Techadei Dibor, so then the riff writes at the beginning of Brachas, that you can change a Bracha, Techadei Dibor. Same way you can back off from Eidus. Oh, excuse me, so you can back off from Eidus, Techadei Dibor. So you can back off from a Bracha, Techadei Dibor. So the riff interprets the Gemara in Brachas that if you change the Chesivus HaBracha, Techadei Dibor, that would be okay. But I don't think it dawned on me until after Techadei Dibor. So I wasn't sure what to do. So I was thinking, should I say Baruch Shem at that point? So I was thinking to myself, that's a funny thing to say because it wasn't really a Bracha Levatala. Because we're not exactly sure why you don't make the Bracha, but it's not a Mamash Bracha Levatala. If I say Baruch Shem, so that'll be a real hef, that'll create a real hefsek. So I just made an alachilas mar afterwards. So I scratched my head afterwards, trying to figure out what the right thing to have done at the spot was. But whatever. What's the moral of the lesson? Is that you should follow what it says in Haggadah. Don't close your eyes. Read what it says. Follow what it says in the Math of Haggadah, and you'll be okay. Okay. For those who know what Math of Haggadah is. Oh, it's cool. Get back to the story. So you have to dip the carpets into something. So there are different traditions in the Rishonim what to dip the carpets into. So our tradition has been, the minigan our communities is to dip it into salt water. What do you do? You also dip it into salt water some. You feel it? But vinegar, something vinegar. Okay, so our minigan we do it into salt water. So the preparation of salt water on Shabbos becomes a potential problem. Those remember from last year, so the Mishnah at the end, in the 14th paragraph of Shabbos, talks about a possible problem of making salt water on Shabbos. What could possibly be the problem of making salt water? So there's an issur of pickling things on Shabbos called Kovish Kavashim. We just spoke about this. Kovish Kavashim. Yerdesh, yeah. You're not allowed to marinate things. You're not allowed to pickle things. You're not allowed to soak things in vinegar on Shabbos because of Kovish Kavashim. What exactly is the problem with Kovish Kavashim? So there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim say it's matz abishal. It's like an issur of bishal on Shabbos. So there's a principle called Kovish Kavashim in Yerdesh. If you have two cold things that are soaked together, so they start to give taste off to one another, kavush kimavushal. So some say that's considered like an issur of bishul on Shabbos as well. But that would be a real bona fide bishul derayis and bishul derabanan. Come to the Yerdei Shurim to find out. But some kind of an issur of derech bishul. And other rishayim say no, the issur has nothing to do with bishul. The issur is an issur of ma'abe. Ma'abe means when you process animal skins. Part of the process of preparing animal skins is you take the skin and you throw it into this big solution with salt and other things, and that somehow transforms the skins, makes it into more usable, and you make it into cloth or into leather or shoes or something. So you have to soak it in these salty kinds of solutions. So all kinds of soaking things and salting things and all these kinds of things are also in the Rabbana because they can somehow get mixed up with the Yisra of Ma'abed. So part of this Yisra, the Gemara talks about the prohibition of salting certain kinds of vegetables, let's say cucumbers, which is sometimes made into pickles. So you're not supposed to salt cucumbers on Shabbos. The only way you're allowed to salt cucumbers is if, in addition to the salt, you throw some salad dressing on, you throw some olive oil on, so that weakens the koch of the salt. So that's not considered to be derech kovesh, that's not considered to be derech molicha. So if you throw other things in, that would be okay. But just stopping to salt things would be a problem. To salt things that are never pickled, that are never marinated, that's okay. But to salt those kinds of vegetables that are sometimes pickled would be a problem. So part of this whole issur against the pickling, marinating, salting process is that you're not supposed to prepare very, very thick, heavy, concentrated salt water on Shabbos. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Let us say there, I want you to be careful when preparing the salt water on, for Friday night. So rather than get involved in these kinds of shaylos, you should prepare the salt water from before Shabbos. Normally on Yom Tov, the Seder falls out on the Tuesday night, Monday night, whatever it is. So you just prepare the salt water whenever you want. But when it comes to Friday night, so it's better to try to prepare from before. Then by some mistake, you forgot to prepare the salt water. So as long as you don't make it too concentrated, so it's supposed to give you a shiurim as to how much it should be. One third, two thirds, I forgot about it, what the numbers are. So as long as you don't make it such a heavy, heavy duty concentration, it will be all right. But Chathila, Mishnah Berurah writes that it's better just to avoid the whole Shabbos, try to prepare the salt water from before Shabbos. So now we move on to the next part of the Seder. So yachatz, so you break the matzah. So was there any difference in the breaking the matzah on Friday night, breaking the matzah the other night? So there is a question in general about how many matzahs one is supposed to have by the Seder. The issue is that on the one hand there's a mitzvah of lecha mishnah. It's in a regular yontif. So in a regular yontif there's a machloket through days and taisus. Is there a lecha mishnah or not? Regularly you sit down to lunch in the afternoon. He's supposed to have two matzahs or not. So The Taisa Maseches Beitza quotes two different midrashim. The Taisa's claims contradict each other. The Taisa says machlokes two midrashim whether the mon fell double on erev yontif. Did the mon, was the mon collected on yontif and not? So if you hold that they collected the mon on yontif, then there was no need for lechem mishnah from before yontif. If they didn't collect the mon on yontif, didn't fall on yontif, then of course there was a need for lechem mishnah on erev yontif. So Taisa says there are two different midrashim about this topic. Did the mon fall on double on erev yontif? And Taisa writes enough kibin ladina whether you require lechem mishnah for a sudas yontif. So our practice is yes, we follow that medrash that the mon did fall. What's the I'm sorry, that the mon did not fall on erev yontif. Did not fall on yontif. Therefore, it fell double on erev yontif, and therefore you require lechem mishnah. What's the issue? Whether the mon fell on yontif, didn't fall on yontif. What's the shaila? So it's a tricky shaila because why didn't the mon fall on Shabbos? What malacha was involved? So there were a couple of problems. There was a problem of carrying. There was a problem of going outside the tchum. So when it comes over to those issues, carry over to yontif. So we split. There's no issue of carrying for food for sure not on yontif, but there is a problem going out of the tchum on yontif. So it's not 100% clear whether apidin the mon was able to fall on yontif. They were able to collect it on yontif, or whether it necessitated to fall double on erev yontif. And therefore, we would have lechem mishnah. So, when it comes to a regular Pesach, a regular yontif, we're not quite sure whether we're supposed to have lechem mishnah in general. And that minig is shchanoch paskas because yontif that we do insist as a chumra, as it's remachm in the shaila, we assume that there is a requirement of lechem mishnah on a regular yontif. And on a Shabbos, avada is a din of lechem mishnah. That's not even a shaila. Everyone agrees that's a paskas in chumash. That's a gemara in Shabbos that the chayav adam mitzvah shnei kikaros for Shabbos. So, in yontif maybe, and in Shabbos for sure. Then in addition to this, the Gemara says that when it comes to a Pesach, the Torah calls the Ma'atzah Lechem Oini. So one of the many, many didim that I learned out from Lechem Oini is Ma'ani V'prusa, Afata V'prusa. Just as an Ani breaks his bread in half, because he never knows when the next meal is going to come, so to on Pesach night, you have to break your bread as well. So there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim between the Rashbam and the Rambam as to how do we reconcile these two halachas. On the one hand, we require Lechem Mishnah, which usually requires Shleimus, requires a whole bread or a whole matzah. On the other hand, we have a din called Lechem Oni, which means to break the matzah. So which one wins out? Is it Lechem Mishnah or is it Lechem Oni? So the Rashbam says, it's not a machlokes. They're both right. They're both true. And therefore, the Rashbam made a cheshbon, and he said, you have to start out the seder with three matzahs. You have to have two which will remain Shleimus in order to fulfill the din of Lechem Mishnah. And then you have to have a third matzah, which you're going to break, to perform the din of Lechem Oni. So at the end of the day, whether the Seder comes out on Friday night or comes out on a regular night, so the Rashbam holds there is a din of Lechem Mishnah, either Mitam Shams or Mitam Yomtif, and there's also a din of Lechem Oni, Mitam Pesach, and the two dinim don't contradict each other, they both truly complement one another. So the Rambam disagrees with this. The Rambam says, no, the Rambam says there's no third matzah on the table. The Rambam says you start the Seder with two matzahs, even on Friday night. There's no difference whether it's Yomtif, Shams, it's all the same, says the Rambam. You start off the Seder with two matzahs, and then you break one of those matzahs. Aye, but now you only have 1.5 matzahs. Right, that's exactly what the din is. The Lechem only redefines Lechem Mishnah. The Lechem Mishnah of Pesach night is Dafka broken matzah. It's not like the Rashbam says you have a whole third matzah, and you break one of the matzahs. No. According to the Rambam, to do that, then you defeated the whole purpose. The whole goal of Lechem Oni is to take what would otherwise be a whole Lechem Mishnah and break it into half and have it to us Lechem Oni. So that's true not only on Yom Tov, that's true on Shabbos also. So even though on Shabbos, there's Mamash, I didn't that screaming, I need Lechem Mishnah, I need Lechem Mishnah, doesn't matter. Once the Din of Lechem Oni comes, Lechem Oni superimposes on the Din of Lechem Mishnah and it changes the Din of Lechem Mishnah. So it changes the Din of Lechem Mishnah, not just the Yom Tov Tikkun Lechem Mishnah. It changes the Shabbos Tikkun Lechem Mishnah also. According to the Rambam, I'm not really using a regular standard of Lechem Mishnah this Friday night. I'm using a Pesach Tikkun standard. I'm using a Lechem Oni Tikkun standard. So how do you understand that? So I understand on a regular Yom Tov, the Seder's on a Monday night, so I understand. So the Bechayiv of having Lechem Mishnah is a Pesach Tikkun Chiyuv. So therefore Lechem Oni qualifies that and redefines that by saying have a half instead of a whole. But on Friday night, aren't they chayev mitam Shabbos? Isn't Shabbos a mechayev of a regular standard of Lechem Mishnah? So shouldn't the Rambam agree to the Rashbam this Friday night that you still need out Lechem Mishnah? So the answer to that question is based on the famous word from the Yosemech. Yosemech is a famous word by Yom Kippur where he raises the question when you have two different Kedushas Hayoms, so how do you understand the relationship between those Kedushas Hayoms? Do you say, let's say, when Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide, so it happens to be Shabbos, but it happens to be Yom Tov. So I do the Shabbos mitzvahs, and I do the Yom Tov mitzvahs. Or do I say, no, when Shabbos and Yontif coincide, there's a newfangled Kedushas Hayoyim. It's called the Yontif Shechanas B'Shabbos. It's a different Chal Hashem. It's not the same. It's not a Shabbos and a Yontif together. It's a Shabbos Yontif in one breath. There's a new Kedushas Hayoyim called Shabbos Yontif. So the Arsameach has this famous psach based on the second pshat. When you have Yom Kippur Shechalas B'Shabbos, so whereas Rabbi Kiveger had a Kiddush, that you have to make Kiddush for the person who's a Chod. If a Chod is Yerush B'Sakonah on Yom Kippur Shechalas B'Shabbos, so he's getting it anyway, so Rabbi Kiveger says he has to take a cup of grape just to make Kiddush. He has to make Lecha Mishnah. He's got to do all the regular mitzvahs of Shabbos. It happens to be Yom Kippur. Okay, for a healthy person, so it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So separate Kiddushas Hayoms. So the mitzvah of fasting and Yom Kippur is more important than making Kiddush HaLakos for Shabbos. But for a sick person who's not bound by the mitzvah, by the Isser of Yom Kippur, so for him, it's not still Shabbos, so it's Shabbos as usual. So he's got to make Kiddush, he's got to wash, he's got to make Lecha Mishnah, a bench, Ritzeh, sings mirrors, and whatever he wants. He's got to, it's a regular, Friday night meal, because it happens to be Shabbos as well as a Yom Kippur. So the Yosemech thought that Psach was not correct. The Yosemech thought that whenever you have Shabbos and a Yom Tif together, it's a new Kedushas Hayom. The new Kedushas Hayom is called Yom Kippur Shechalas B'Shabbos. The Kedusha of Yom Kippur Shechalas B'Shabbos is not a Mechayev of Kiddush. It's not a Mechayev of Lechemish. It's not a Mechayev of Suda. Yom Kippur Shechalas B'Shabbos is not Shabbos today. It's Yom Kippur Shechalas B'Shabbos. A different Chal Hashem. The two Kedushas combined to merge into one with its own set of halachas. How does Oz HaMechem know this is true? So he has this famous Raya from a Gemara Masechet Zvachim. The Gemara says that when you have when you bring a korban musaf on Shabbos, so there's a whole hierarchy in terms of kedushas hakarbanos. Some karbanos are more kaddish than other karbanos. So the Gemara has a klal that called a kudish bechavero kodem bechaveroi. And you have two karbanos to bring. One is more kaddish than the other, so you bring the more kaddish one first. And then there's another klal called tadem bechavero tadem kodem. Tadem shina tadem tadem kodem. So the Gemara is a shayla on the other maseches vachim. What's the din? If you have a clash between these two klolim, one carbon is a more kaddish carbon, and the other carbon is a more tadr carbon, which one comes first? So Gemara has two blot about this. It's the whole parak. Parak kol ha-tadr. A whole parak about one shayla. The Gemara tries to bring rayas back and forth. Every raya the Gemara rejects. At the end of the day, the Gemara never really decides. We assume halacha probably tadr is kodem, but it's unresolved in the Gemara itself. So you have a clash between tadr versus makudish. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya to that tadr is more important than makudish, but when you have a Shabbos and a Yontif together, let's say this Shabbos, so you have Shabbos and Yontif together, so which carbon do you bring first? Do you bring the Musaf for Shabbos first, or do you bring the Musaf for Yontif first? So, how do we say it in David? If you have a Shabbos, you bring the Shabbos carbon first. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you bring the Shabbos Musaf first. So the Gemara makes the Chesh, and the Gemara says that the Musaf of Yontif is more Kaddish than the Musaf of Shabbos. Why is that? So Rashi says for two reasons. Number one, the Musaf of Yontif has a chsir al-chatas in it, which the Musaf of Shabbos doesn't have. And number two, there are more karbanos. The Musaf of Shabbos is only two karbanos, two animals, shnei chavasim. Musaf of Yontif is parim, neilim, chavasim, chsir al-chatas, so many other things. So in terms of the hierarchy of Kedusha, the Kedusha's Musaf of Yontif is a higher carbon, is a more important carbon than the Musaf of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so how could we say that you bring the carbon Shabbos before the carbon Yontif? You see, from here, that Tadr beats out Makudish. That's the Cheshbon of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a Raya. Because the carbon Shabbos, true, if you were just evaluating a Musaf of Shabbos against the Musaf of Yontif, so the Musaf of Yontif is more important. But whenever you have a Shabbos that falls that on the Yontif together, so then the Kedusha's Yontif is Chal on the Karban of Shabbos as well. So the Shnei Chavasim, which are a Shabbos thing of carbon, I don't bring that on Yontif. But since I'm bringing those Shnei Chavasim on a Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos, so now the Din Pesach is Chal on those Karbanos also. So these are called Pesach Dika Karbanos. It's not a Shabbos Dika Musaf. It's a Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos Dika Musaf. That's the Klal. That's the Mefarshei Gemara. That's what we always say. That's the Mokar against what a lot of Chazans like to do when they get to, when you have a Shabbos and Yontif together, so they like to switch Nigunim. When they get to Yom Shabbos, so they switch back to the Shabbos tune, then they get the Yontif tune, they get the Yisduchu, they go to the Shabbos tune, back and forth and back and forth. So according to the Yosemech, that's not right. Because according to the Yosemech, that's highlighting the wrong thing. That's highlighting the fact that this is Shabbos, this is Yontif. It's not true. It's one big merge, one big fusion of Yontif Shabbos and Shabbos. I wouldn't correct the Chazan for doing that. Just being over that Api Allah, Yosemech would probably not approve of that. Getting back to the story. So according to this Osamech, it turns out that whenever you have two Kedushas Hayoms together, you no longer isolate each one as a separate Kiddushas Hayom. You view it as one big picture together. So this Friday night, you're going to sit down to the table and you're going to yachatz, and you make Lechem Mishnah. So how many Lechem Mishnahs are you making? Are you making a Shabbos Dikah Lechem Mishnah and also a Yom Tov Dikah Lechem Mishnah? If that's the case, then it really doesn't make sense, according to the Rambam, to break the middle matzah. How can you break one of the matzah? You have to take another matzah, because you just lost, you just destroyed your Lechem Mishnah of Shabbos. You want to destroy a Lechem Mishnah of Yom Tov, that's okay, but to destroy a Lechem Mishnah of Shabbos, mechataisei. So the answer is that no, that's not a problem, because when you have a Seder night and Friday night, so the Mechayev is a Lechem Oini. Means it's a new kind of Lechem Mishnah, it's a new kind of Kedushas Hayom. The Kiddush that you make Friday night is a Yom Tov Shachas B'Shabbos Kiddush. The Hamotzi that you make on the Seder night is a Lechem Oni Dika Hamotzi. It's a different type of Hamotzi. So even though it happens to be on the calendar, Saturday, it's Friday night on the calendar, but it's not a Friday night Lechem Mishnah. It's a Lel HaSeder Dika Lechem Mishnah. It's a Lel HaSeder Shachas B'Shabbos Lechem Mishnah, which even according to the Rambam, would only be a 1.5 matzahs. La Halacha, this whole Shtikot Torah doesn't matter for us, because we follow the Rashbam. Most of us have the tradition of the Rashbam anyway, that we use three matzahs. So we always cover ourselves on all bases. But even within those who follow the Shittas HaRambam, the Gra, the Briskas, those who follow the Shittas HaRambam, so even they would stick to the Shittas HaRambam this Friday night, notwithstanding the fact that they're losing out to Lechem Mishnah B'Shabbos. On a regular, yeah, we paskin have to have Lechem Mishnah B'Shabbos also. Oh, based on that, you have to have all the Suda Shabbos, you have to have Lechem Mishnah. Yeah, you have to eat it early. No, on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide together, so that's also Mechayev B'Shabbos. Yeah. When you set up your matzah for the Seder, so you, before you break your matzah, you want to make sure you start out with whole matzahs. So there is a big question about when you want to set up the matzahs for the Seder this year on a Friday night, on a Shabbos lunch, there may be a problem with vorer. If you open up your big matzahs and you start to see some of the matzahs are whole, some of the matzahs are broken, and you want to start to play around and move them around, is that a potential problem with vorer? So we spent some time talking about this last year. So we know the basic issur of borer applies for sure on Shabbos. That's no question. Is there an issur of borer on Yom Tov? Let's say, forget about this year. Let's say on Sunday, you know, for the second Seder this year. Is there a problem of borer on Yom Tov? That's a big machlekes rishon. Remember, but it's a kodesh in the Magen Mishnah, right? Big machlekes. What's the shaila? The Mishnah in Maseches Beitza talks about doing borer on Yom Tov. Talks about sounds like it's okay to do borer on Yom Tov. But then the Mishnah turns around and says, it's not always okay to do Bar and Yom Tov. The Mishnah talks about doing Bar with your hands, doing Bar with a kli, different possibilities. So it was a basic split in the Rishonim, how to understand Pshat and Mishnah. How come sometimes Bar is okay and Yom Tov sometimes not? So the Magid Mishnah, basic theory was, is that Bar is taka from the Malachas and Mutaros. The same way you can cook on Yom Tov, you can eat on Yom Tov, you can carry on Yom Tov, so you can do Bar and Yom Tov also. Minat Torah, Bar is totally Mutar. It's just that Chazal didn't want you to do Bar with a kli, hamiyuchadakach, because that just looks a little bit funny. That looks not so. That looks a little bit too weekday-ish. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, they asked that certain kinds of Yisur Mabariah. But in terms of fundamentally, it's Barah Mutav, using your hands, so it's not a Shaila at all. And Rashba disagreed. The Rashba said that Barah is fundamentally Asur on Yom Tov, the same way it's Asur on Shabbos. That seems to be the view of the Rishalmi, the famous Rishalmi that says, it's not Melisha of Eilach, right? The Rishalmi says that only certain Malachas are Mutav on Yom Tov. The Rishalmi is bothered with the question, how come the din is, you're not allowed to pluck an apple from a tree in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do other kinds of malachas, you're not allowed to grind, there's certain things in the early process of preparing food, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. How come certain malachas are also in Yom Tov? What happened to Hetev Echol Nefesh? So where is the Rambam and the Raivin? And many of the Rishalmi said, those are all chumas midi rabbanan. But min haTorah, you're allowed to go to your backyard and pluck the fruit off the tree. So the Rishalmi says, no. Tosfos and Beit Stav Gimel quotes Rishalmi that says, that even midaraisi, you're not allowed to pluck the apple off the tree because it's before lisha. Any malacha which is before the kneading process is off limits, even midaraisa, as it says in the chumash. Ochel nefesh muta ushmat mesematzas. Everybody knows the Rishalmi shita is that you only need shimur me lisha va'elach. You only have to watch the grain after you're already starting to mix it with water. Rishalmi shita is that shmur matza only means after lisha. What do you have to watch mishas ktsira? There's no water there anyway. So what are you watching for? To which others say, that's exactly what you're watching, to make sure no water falls in. But the Rishalmi, when the Rishalmi was selling matzahs, so it said in the box, Shmura Mishas Lisha, not Mishas Ketzira. Don't try to sell that for Zman Hazeh. See how much money you get for Shmura Mishas Lisha. But according to the Rishonim, you don't need Shmura before Lisha. Therefore, the Rishonim concludes that any malachas, a part of Echol Nefesh before Lisha, are not us in the first place. There is no Isser, there's no Isser whatsoever of, according to Rishonim, there's no Heter whatsoever for any Heter of Echol Nefesh pre-Lisha. So Borer, which is pre-Lisha, would be a problem. That's what the Rashba seems to be saying, that Boratach would be a problem in Yontif. So how come the Mishnah says you're allowed to do Borer in Yontif sometimes? So the Rashba says, if you look carefully at that Mishnah, at least the way the Rashba looks at the Mishnah, every case that Borer is mentioned as being Mutter, on Yontif happens to be Mutter on Shabbos also. The descriptions of Borer that are being used by Chazal in the Mishnahis and Beitzah are pretty much Mutter on Shabbos anyway. So according to the Rashba, there's no real fundamental difference between Borer and Shabbos versus Borer and Yontif. So on Yontif, is questionable, but on Shabbos for sure there's Mitzvah of Borer. Shabbos is not even a Shaila, there's Mitzvah of Borer. So the question becomes, is there any issue in sorting out your matzahs? You want to separate between the broken matzahs and the whole matzahs. So we, even though the Gemara speaks about Borer in terms of Borer, Eichel, and Psoiles, those are the terms that Chazal was using in Shabbos and Aleph about the Borer. So most of the Rishonim subscribe to what we call Shittas Rabbeinu Chanan, all the Tosfos and Shabbos quotes, that Borer applies even to Shnei Minim. If you have two different species of foods, even though they're both edible, and have peanuts and raisins mixed together, that would also pose a problem of Borer, even though there's nothing really bad. So Tosfos writes, from the fact that I don't want to eat one of them right now, that's considered to be like a psoles. The Rambam has a little bit of a different formulation. We spent a lot of time on this. Hopefully it brings back fond memories for some people from last year. But we pass in Shulchan Aruch, probably like Tosfos, that there is an Isra of Borer, a potential deraisa of Borer, even though there's no real psoles, no objective psoles. It's a subjective psoles. That's also a problem. So then there was a further machlokes between the Ramon and the Taz about what if it's not even Shnei Minim, it's really Menechad, it's just some are bigger and some are smaller. So what is that? Is that also called Borer? So the Taz was machlokes, that's also a problem, Borer. If you have big apples, little apples, that would be a problem. So we paskin like the Ramon, this one. Most of the later poskim saw the Ramon, that's not considered to be Borer at all. If you have a different size of chicken, but it's all the same kind of chicken, that's not considered to be Borer. So now the question becomes, if I'd have big matzahs and little matzahs, so that wouldn't be Borer. We pass it like the Rambam. But here I have whole matzahs and broken matzahs. So should I say that whole matzahs and broken matzahs are min hechad, and then all the din of Borer don't apply? Or should I say that whole matzahs and broken matzahs are like shnei minim, and therefore there would be a problem with Borer preparing these matzahs before the Seder, particularly on this year? So that's a big machlokes. So we spoke a lot about this last year, about the following issue. What makes a whole matzah and a broken matzah so fundamentally different from one another? Because I want one for Lecha Mishnah and the other one, they don't need for Lecha Mishnah. So it's halachic considerations, halachic concerns that are now creating, in a sense, the Shnei Minim. So is that true? What's the Din Uchaz Bayer? When you define Uchaz Bayer, one Min versus two Minim, when you define Echelim service, do you find it based on the Metzias or do you find it based on the Halacha? So who remembers Machlokes? No. Who's the Machlokes between? What? Yeah, who's the Machlokes in the Rishonim? What? By where? By who? Who remembers? The Mordechai by the cow. The Mordechai with the cows, right? Rabbi Natan with... What? By Hadassim, right? The Tais, right, in the Mordechai by Hadassim, by Machlokes Patish. Rabbi Natan and the Ramban by milking the cows on Shabbos, right? Right? No, we talk about it a lot? Okay, so this is a big question. So therefore, Chachila, we try to be Machmer, that one should assume that maybe the rules of Borer would apply to the separating of the broken and the whole piece of matzah. The best thing to do is you separate your matzahs from before Shabbos. But something that's not so practical to do all that. So let's say I have a big box of matzahs, and I open up the box of matzahs, and lo and behold, I see there's a broken matzah on top. So what do I do? So I want to remove the broken one to get to the bottom one. So is that considered to be taking solos with an ochel? That would be problematic. So we have the famous kula who? That's the famous Be'alocha's kula, right? Be'alocha says, but it, what? The deli platters, right? This famous Be'alocha, that when the Eichel and the Psolas, or here the Shnemina, whatever you want to call them, are not Be'urav Yachad, it's just a place one on top of another. So the Be'alocha is a whole razzle-dazzle, Shukotoy, B'alach Shem Tzich L'gufu, B'shus Yaakov, the whole story. We didn't quite understand last year either. But the bottom line is the Be'alocha says that as long as it's piled up one on top of another, and it's not really Psolas, it's just, it's more of a subjective Psolas, it's not a real objective Psolas. So the Be'alocha was Mekil, that that you could remove the top one in order to get to the bottom one, as long as you're doing it right away. That's all considered to be like a quasi derech achila, and that's not really considered to be derech malacha. So therefore, those who want to get to the whole matzah on the bottom, if they just take off the top broken ones, get to the bottom, that would be all right. If you took all your matzah and threw them into a big pile together, a big chulin together, that would be more of a problem. Then you would have to aim dafka to take the good rather than the bad.
What
do
you have to mind?
Do we paskin that there's borah? We paskin mikra that there really is no borah in Yontif, because the Rashba is turns out to be maker that solus ben ochel is mutter for me use on Shabbos, because the Mishnah says you're allowed to be borah kidness, right? So that puts the Rashba in the wrong team in terms of that. So, but the only thing is that if it's efshim mibiyod yom, so the Ramos machmir, we should try to do borah mibiyod yom if we're able to. Ramos says, right, you really don't. That's not cool. We never do it whenever Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide together. So some people do. Some people say Shalom Aleichem. They say it for the Seder also. I don't know. Anyone say Shalom Aleichem for the Seder? No, I don't know. And we don't do it even on Shabbos Chol Moed, so I don't know what the meaning is.
The
Zera
Lachman he was discussing with that was like more of a preference as opposed to here. There really is that doesn't discuss the halakha.
No, I think this is better than the deli platters, because here, I'm perfectly okay eating broken matzah a little bit later in the meal. I'll eat broken matzah. So why is that worse than the?
The Berlach didn't discuss the halakha.
So I'm saying even it could be the Berlach. Maybe that's not even called shneminim. Maybe it's totally mutter. But even al atzad that. I don't think it's worse. It's not gonna be worse. I don't think it's worse than deli platters. That'll be worse than a deli platter. I want the corned beef now. I don't want the roast beef now. So that means I want the whole matzah. I don't want the broken matzah now. I'll eat the other meat later. I'll eat the broken matzah later.
If you get into it with the or it's all mixed together, so if you need whole matzahs and you're trying to pull out turn the round matzahs, it's going to break.
Right.
How do you get around
that? No, so thanks. So then you have to do what the Berlacha says. You have to remove from the top then. It's piled on top, so it's okay.
So you have to do it right.
Right before means right before. That doesn't mean you have to do it right before Motzi Matzah. There are more rites in Ochus Borah than anything for the whole meal. Even for dessert is considered to be Miyad. So even though I'm going to start the meal the next few minutes, even though I'm not going to get the matzah.
Any time in the preparation process.
Whatever Li'alta normally means. Whatever Shaw meant, as we spoke with the Mordechai. Okay. Good. Okay, I think in terms of Borah, so we're done. Okay, we're done in terms of Borah. Okay, so what do we have? So we have Yachatz. Magid, oh yes, yeah, that. Okay, yeah, Magid. All right, so Magid at the Seder on Friday night. Are there any differences? No, I don't think so. Okay, good, so we'll move on. All right, Magid Rachta, any differences in Tosa Daim? You gotta wash the other. Sing the hill. You can sing Chagaja and Shabbos also. Okay. Okay, so you wash your hands the same way, make the same hamotzi, same achas matzah, everything sounds the same. Get the morer. Morer gets a little bit tricky. Some, not the eating of the morer, but some of the preparation of the morer may run into some Shabbos issues. Well, depending on what you're using for morer. If you're using romaine lettuce, then you're probably not checking for bugs, because you're probably using the prepacked one, so we're not going to talk about people who check for bugs anymore. But the chrein, those who use horseradish, so that may run into some Shabbos issues. So why is somebody using horseradish in the first place? Because in Eastern Europe, so they didn't have lettuce growing in Eastern Europe. So the Mishnah lists off what the chamashis mean what different kinds of species of morer are. So one of the species of morer is chasa, which Rashi writes as lituga. Lituga is the old French word, the Latin word for a lettuce. So lettuce, we have a tradition from Dari Darius, is considered to be one of the minei morer. Even though it's not so bitter, that's what the Yerushalmi says. How can you use morer? It doesn't taste like morer. It doesn't taste bitter. So the Yerushalmi says, if you leave it in the ground long enough, it'll taste like morer. So that's what the Chazanish said. You got to leave it in the ground long enough so you can use it. So the minig is not like that. The minig is like the other post give. We say, since once it's labeled as a min morer, since it potentially can become bitter, so even though right now it's not so bitter, it's pretty bland, so that's perfectly okay. That's what that minig is. So in Eastern Europe, they had a big problem. They didn't have lettuce. They didn't have any of the endives, any of the other things that were potentially morer. So they used to use horseradish. So some of the poskim defended the using of horseradish. Another poskim questioned the using of horseradish. They weren't even sure that was one of the acceptable for morer. So we're not going to be Motzi Lazim in Minhag Yisrael, those who use horseradish, so relying on those poskim from Europe who held that horseradish was acceptable. But there was a machlokes at poskim about how to prepare the horseradish on a regular Seder night, how to prepare the horseradish. So the Nesivis held that you have to eat it as whole stalks of white horseradish. If you start to chop it up, you start to grind it up, so it removes the ta'am maror. And the Gemara has a big deal in Maseches Pesach about the significance of eating ta'am maror. We spoke about this in your day. The thing is that you can't cook the maror because you lose the ta'am maror. You can't pickle it. You can't soak it because you're going to lose the ta'am maror. So the Chavis Das, the Nesiva said that if you start chopping it up, it's going to take away some of the ta'am maror, and that's going to be a problem. So other poskim responded by saying that if you eat it as whole, it could be an ayetzi altogether, because that's called shalaka derech achila, because it was sugar, and it would have eat whole stalks of maror. So that's called shalaka derech achila. Whether that's a reason that you're not yaitzi is highly questionable. There's a big machlokes acharonim. We spoke a lot about this in the Pesachim days. There's a big machlokes acharonim where the din of shalai kederech is a din only by los aseis, even by aseis. We talked about this in your day also, right? Didn't we mention it? The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that if you eat chaylev shalai kederech achila, so you wouldn't be chayev. So what about to fulfill a mitzvah? If I eat matzah shalai kederech achila, I eat mar shalai kederech achila, I eat korban pesach shalai kederech achila, would I be yaitzi the mitzvah or not? So that's a big machlokes acharonim. We mentioned the Raya, right? The famous Raya from the Sor for Yom Kippur, right? But the Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Benochos that in the olden days, before they had a set calendar, so every once in a while Yom Kippur would fall out on a Friday. So when Yom Kippur would fall out on a Friday, you had to bring the regular Karbanos on Friday. And one of the Karbanos of Yom Kippur is the Sor Bachutz. The Sor, part of the Musaf, is the regular Sor L'chatnas, which is eaten by the Kohanim. And it has to be in the Yom Balayla. You have to eat it before the next morning. But Shabbos morning, it's going to become nicer. Obviously, you can't eat it on Friday. It's the Yom Kippur, so you have to eat it Friday night. Problem was, how are you going to cook it? It's raw. So on a regular Yom Kippur, so you cook it after Yom Kippur's over. You cook it, you roast it, and the Kohanim eat it in the middle of the night. But when Matzah Yom Kippur happens to be Friday night, our calendar can't be that way. But a P-R-E-A, when the Makadosh P-R-E-A, anything goes. So it could be that you have Yom Kippur on Friday. So now the Sor L'chatos can't be eaten in the day, and it can't be eaten at night because it's Mamash raw. So the Mishnah says they had some groups of people who would volunteer to eat it raw. Some people had very, very strong stomachs. The Mishnah doesn't say what happened to them, but the Mishnah says some people, they were volunteering. It was a big deal for them to eat. They were able to eat the goat's meat. I imagine that's probably pretty tough to do. They would eat, and it's a healthy meal either, but whatever, they ate the goat's meat raw. So the Beis HaLevi discusses the Shaila. What did they gain by eating it raw? They didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Kachim anyway. The whole reason why we have to eat it is to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Kachim. If you also have a kuper behem, a pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, it's a mitzvah derais of Kohanim to eat psar karbanos. It's machlokes is a rishonim, whether that mitzvah is only for Kohanim or even for Yisraelim. Let's say if you have shlomim, kachim kalim, so Rashi writes in one place that there's a mitzvah for the Yisraelim to eat the achilik of the karbanos as well. And Ram doesn't seem to say that. But kachim, everybody agrees, there's a mitzvah derais of achlos hamash a kuper behem for Kohanim to eat. So ask the Beis HaLevi, if you hold that there's no mitzvah shalok ha-derech achila, so what were they gaining? They were eating it, it was such a b'shunatik way of eating it, it was shalok ha-derech achila, what was the goal? So the Beis HaLevi explains now that the only time there's a din of shalok ha-derech, that's when there's a mitzvah achila and the gavra. When you have a mitzvah to eat Korban Pesach, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah, you have a mitzvah to eat maror, there's a mitzvah mutalas ala gavra, so it's not called your achila if you're doing it in such a bizarre way. But the mitzvah achila is kachim, even if it exists, says the Beis HaLevi, it does exist. Sometimes that mitzvah of Chilas Kachim is not a mitzvah on the gavati, it's a mitzvah on the cheftza, that the cheftza of the korban should be eaten. It doesn't really matter that you are or are not eating, as long as the meat is consumed by a person, so that's okay. So whenever the din is focusing on the cheftza, the whole din of Shalai Kederech breaks down. That's the part of the same Beis HaLevi explains. That's the difference between the mitzvah of Chilas Kachim and the mitzvah of Chilas Korban Pesach. Achilas Korban Pesach is a mitzvah hamutalas ala gavra. For achlos abosa b'layla, that each and every Jew has to eat a kazayis of Korban Pesach. The mitzvah achilas kachim is not on me, it's not on the kohen. It's the fact that the korbanos have to be eaten. So therefore, the Beis HaLevi says, when it comes to achilas Korban Pesach, that's like matzah, you have to have a kazayis. The Mishnah is always speaking about eating a kazayis of Korban Pesach. When it comes to achilas kachim, so it's not necessary for each kohen to eat a kazayis. Haraya, when they used to divide up the lechem haponim in the Beis HaMikdash every Shabbos afternoon. So the Mishnah says each person would get a little small amount. The lechem haponim wasn't so big, and there were a lot of kohanim around. So everybody wanted to have a share of the shirayim from the Beis HaMikdash. So like you go to the Rebbe, Pahavdil. So each person would get a little, you don't get a kazayis from the Rebbe. You get a little mashu. So each per kohen would get a little mashu, a little bean size of lechem haponim. So the Beis HaLevi wasn't the chosid, he was a misnaget, so he asked the kasha, how could you give every kohen a bean size less than a kezayis lechem upon him? Nobody's getting the mitzvah because each person is getting less than a kezayis. So says the Beis HaLevi, no, you see from here that there's no mitzvah sachila of lechem upon him. It's kachi kachi, it's a kovim mincha. There's a mitzvah of ochlos of a shekupu behem. So says the Beis HaLevi, you know, that mitzvah achilas kachim is not a mitzvah mutalas ala gavra. It's a mitzvah mutalas ala cheftza, and therefore there's no need for any one person to eat a kezayis. So the Beis HaLevi has this whole theme that achilas kachim is different from achilas pesach, and that reflects itself in terms of shalakid achachila, in terms of kezayis, etc. But when it comes to maror, maror is a mitzvah achila. So when it comes to pashtus of mitzvah achila, so when it comes to maror, there's a rush. There's a funny rush in Maseches Pesachim. It sounds like maybe there's no mitzvah achila on maror. Because it says amatz l'morim yochluhu, and the yochlu is not going on the mor, it's going on the korban pesach. There's a rush that talks about whether you have to have a kezayis for moror. So there's a funny rush that some achronim interpreted to mean that maybe there's no real din of mitzvah achil and moror. Pasha dvarim is mitzvah achil and moror also. Either the raisim is not a mitzvah, or the rabbanim is not a zes. That's what all the achronim tying against the nesivus. If you're going to tell people to eat whole stalks of chrein, you're not going to be yetzi anything because it's a chashash of shalak kederech achila. Going to half the achilayim shalak kederech achila, you're not yetzi at all. So that can't be what the halacha requires to eat stalks of chrein. It must be you have to chop up the chrein. It's losing some of the taste. Okay, but it's still a little bit of taste left. It's not as sharp as it was, but it's not totally diluted. It's not like cooking, not like marinating, it's not like vinegar, pickling it. It's just weakening it a little bit, so that's all right. So that's what Aminig is. Those people who eat chrein for moror, nobody that I know does do nesivus. Why? Anyone ever see anyone eat a stalk of a chrein? Probably wouldn't be able to tell the story. So the minig is that you grind it up and shine and you eat it the way it is. So the poskim say that you shouldn't grind it up hours in advance. If you're going to grind it up tonight for the Seder, it's mamish going to be diluted. Then Tachlis Nesivus is going to be right. There's going to be mamish no time left to it. So you grind it up as close as you can. So now you run into a problem. Can you grind up this chrein on Friday night? So you run into a potential malach of what? Shalat teichin. You're taking something and you're chopping them into little pieces. That's smacks of teichin. So there's a famous sheet. There's a Rashba about teichin. Who remembers? What's the famous Rashba? Whatever. What? Tochel Yalter. The Rashba says just as Beirer is basically mutali alter in certain circumstances for immediate use. Because that's called kederach achila, not kederach malacha. That idea spills over to teichin as well, and that was a big machlokes of Rishon. Remember, other Rishon said the kibayim, and others said lahared v'amiyam. There is no such kula. So there's a big machlokes in the poskim in Shin Chafalas about teichin, whether we accept this Rashba or not. So the Ramah quotes the Rashba, and then the Mishnah Berurah says he's not even so sure we follow this Ramah. The Rosh Hashulchan says, yeah, we do follow it, and the Chazanish says, we don't follow it. So it's not clear exactly what the din is, whether we should really follow this Rashba. According to the Rashba, the Chur would be all right to do it right before the meal, as long as you grind it up before the Seder, that would be okay. But the problem is, even according to the Rashba, it's going to be a problem, because the Chazanish held when you do super duper teichin, that's a problem, even according to the Rashba. And number two, you're using a clear miyuchad lekach, using a grater or something. So when you use a clear miyuchad lekach, that's for sure a problem, because the whole heter of the Rashba was derived from Beira. But Beira itself, the din is, if you use a clear miyuchad lekach, it's a problem, even though you're doing it mamish right away. Nobody says that. Maybe nobody says that. But if you use a clear miyuchad lekach for immediate use, lechari, that's a problem. Well, we spoke about that a little bit also last year. But lahalacha, we assume that Beira with a clear is absolutely out of the question, and teichin with a clear is going to be out of the question as well. So therefore, the ma'isa, one should not be preparing the horseradish on Friday night. Those who want to use chrein, they should try to remember to prepare the chrein till the Friday.
And that rush, are we talking about?
The rush.
The funny rush?
Yeah.
That just never sounds
good? Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Because you don't have tam. It means you need tam mora, but the din of you don't need the din of kezayis doesn't exist. The din of ein achil the kezayis may not apply to mora. It means you have to have tam. The mitzvah mora is to eat the Korban Pesach together with the Tam Maror. But the Din of Achilah is going on the Korban Pesach, because the Rosh says you have to make sure to eat a Kezayis and Maror. Why? Because you're making a Bracha, Asher Kedushon, which is the Alachim is Maror. So therefore you need a Kezayis. So the Achronim asked, that's why you need a Kezayis. You need a Kezayis because you need a Kezayis, and therefore you make Alachim. It's backwards. So someone will be dying from the Rosh, that the emphasis is that you really don't need a Kezayis. You only need a Kezayis because of the Pash says it's not like that.
No, for the second night.
Second night for Yom Tov, you would be allowed. For Yom Tov, that kind of Tov.
Obviously, Yom Tov,
Yeah, yeah. For that kind of toichen and yantiv is all right. Even though toichen is one of those blockers that you're not supposed to do, but these very small amounts of toichen, that kind of chopping up would probably be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to do the chavis dasas. You want to make. You want to use big stalks.
Yeah.
Poskim doesn't have to do that because it could be shalak derech. Nobody eats tomorrow that way. Nobody eats tomorrow ever. Well, they sell white horseradish.
That much weirder than the other option. You know?
Well, they sell white horseradish in the store. Some people like to put it on their gefilte fish. With vinegar. It's sweeter because they put pickle. They put I don't know. Not sure. Okay. What other things do we have? So Mara, Korech, pretty much the same on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch, she just sings Miras or not? Depends, okay. Tzofa, Afikoman, pretty much the same. Barach, when you bench, I would say Ritzay. Okay, good. Anything else? Halam, that's okay. So maybe we'll touch up a little bit more tomorrow. We only talked about the Seder on the Friday night Seder. We didn't even talk about the Matzah Shabbos Seder. So Shabbos Seder has whole stories. So maybe we'll continue with that part tomorrow. Okay, what time is it tomorrow?